Good morning. So Mother's Day, what a wonderful day, a beautiful weather, bright smiley faces of all the moms here today that have the privilege to have a family and to have children. We also think of the challenge that some have that their moms are no longer here. They've passed on to be with the Lord, and they're not here anymore, but that doesn't mean they still don't impact us as we remember their lives and the influence they've had on us. Cindy and I are fortunate to still have our moms. As a matter of fact, my mom's listening on Grace FM at the facility she's in right now, and I said, make sure you have it on 91.7, Mom, and not 102.5 DVE. Put it on 91.7. And so I got to help her to know where to put it on. But good morning, Mom, and thank you for all that you've done to influence me in your prayers. Cindy's mom is 94 now, and we're going to have dinner with her later today. And we were just talking this morning about the impact that these women have had on our lives and continually have on our lives. Their perseverance, their ability to overcome adversity. They've both had bad falls and broken numerous bones in their body, and it hasn't kept them down. They're still out there doing what they love to do, live life. And so thank you, moms, here today. We honor you. And we want to look at chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs. And so this is a classic chapter on a depiction of what a woman of God endeavors to be like. Now, not every woman has all these characteristics. That if you did, you'd be perfect, right? So this is something you strive to experience and have in your life. Just like 1 Timothy 3 talks about the attributes of a man of God or a pastor or an elder or a deacon. We all want to have those kind of characteristics in our life, but we know that we're developing on all those areas. None of us are perfect. And so whenever you hear some of the teachings today, don't think you're a lousy woman of God or mother because you don't do everything that is discussed in here. That's not the purpose of this chapter. As a matter of fact, some people believe it's more of a metaphor and what a woman of God would be like, not a specific lady in time. And what's interesting is the first part of this book discusses in chapter 31, it talks about King Lemuel. Now, we don't have a lot of information of who this person is or who he might be, but commentators and Bible scholars believe it was Solomon. And the mother of Solomon was Bathsheba, and we know her history, right? Bathsheba was quite a woman. She ended up in an adulterous affair with David, and the story is quite graphic and what they both went through in their immoral acts. And yet David was described as a man after God's own heart. He was restored to the Lord after his failing and falling, and Psalm 51 talks about that. We review that many times when we're studying the Bible together. And Bathsheba obviously learned from her own mistakes what it was like to be a woman of God. And so she's counseling him in this chapter. This is the kind of woman that you want to look for in life or when you're ready to think about getting married. You got a lot of options out there with a lot of wonderful women in the world, but what kind of woman does God want you to consider? So this chapter isn't only about marriage or mothers, married people. It's about single people too who maybe aren't married yet. There's many women we have in our church that aren't married yet, and they are dynamic, solid women of God. And we have many women here in this church who are married that show forth some of these characteristics of what it is to be like being a woman of God. And so let's pray as we begin to study this chapter. Father God, we thank you this morning for such a beautiful, spectacular day. And as each of us got up today, we're all mindful of the fact that this is a special day in our country, for sure, where we celebrate mothers and we remember them for who they are and how they've impacted our lives and still impact our lives. And Father, for the mothers in this church, Lord, we're grateful for their love, first of all, for you and their desire to follow you and walk with you, and the single women as well, Lord, that they want to live for you. And then, Lord, also to be an influence wherever they go, first in the family, the siblings, with the husband, the relatives, the family, the neighborhood, the community, places of work, all these places that you women interact and impact the people that you come in contact with every day. So, Lord, we pray a special blessing on the moms here today, and also for the families that are represented here. That, Lord, we go through ups and downs in homes and families and marriages, and women struggle, men struggle. We all have challenges, as Gina prayed. But, Lord, as we look to you, you help us through the challenges and the struggles. And you restore, Lord. You heal. You forgive. You make all things new. None of us in any of our lives have lived in such a way that we don't have regret or wish we would have handled things maybe a little differently. But Lord, you're the one that forgives, and you're gracious. You don't condemn us. You don't keep a record, Lord, of wrongs. Lord, you're just always there to just say, hey, get back up again and get back in the journey of life and trust me and depend on me and let me work in and through your life. And we're thankful, Father, you do that. So, Lord, please bless this message today to all of our hearts, especially make it a special blessing to all the women you brought here today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little history behind this particular section of Scripture. We're going to look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. It is a acrostic poem, meaning that the beginning of each sentence of this particular section we're looking at was after a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it was designed back in the days of the Jews that whenever the husband would have the meal on the Sabbath, he would sing this song over his family and specifically to his wife. Really a beautiful tradition. And it also is involved with this idea that as Bathsheba was counseling Solomon, that for us men, this chapter is actually written to us, that we might understand the type of woman that God wants us to be with. So it's instructional for all of us guys. So let's just start out, and we'll work through this slowly as it talks about this virtuous wife. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. So the challenge in the culture, and even today, is if you're a guy that's wanting to get married and look for a woman, where are you going to find a woman that's described like this in Proverbs 31, a virtuous wife or virtuous woman? It's not easy to find people like this on the face of the planet now. Most people that live on the planet are unbelievers, and they're not interested in being virtuous many times. Their lives are full of all kind of heartache and sin and struggles and that kind of stuff. And so where do you find this kind of woman? Well, some people go to dating sites, and you maybe have heard of eHarmony. I know some families, as a matter of fact, one of my daughters, her husband now found her on eHarmony because he couldn't find a woman anywhere else. And eHarmony was a Christian dating site that was designed to help people find their life partner. But it's not easy, and it's something you have to pray about. You have to ask the Lord to give you direction if you are looking to eventually become married. You just don't, go to the idea of like, well, whatever, whoever shows up, that's a person I'll marry. Whoever's interested in me, I'll date them, and that's a person I'll marry. You really need to make this a matter of prayer and have some kind of insight and wisdom as to what it is that God's saying would be best for you in a marriage of being a husband and wife together. So that's the first question. Who can find a virtuous wife? And what's so wonderful about this virtuous wife is that she's far worth more than any amount of money that you could ever accomplish or accumulate or have in your life or your bank account. What you're going to get from this kind of woman and having her in your life, it's going to far outweigh anything that this world could give you. And it says that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. To be able to trust in your spouse is a challenge for all of us, especially in this culture where so many marriages end up in divorce or infidelity or immorality and these kind of things. And not only in the unbelieving homes, but even in Christian homes, these things are challenging at times. And so in order to have a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship as a woman with your creator, your God, or a man with his creator and God, you have to walk with the Lord. You have to seek him every day. You have to have in your heart this desire to want to live before him and realizing that he sees everything that's going on and he doesn't make excuses for us and our behavior and how we live. We have to have the insight and, first of all, the wisdom to know how to live for God and want to actually follow the Lord. And so the heart of the husband that has this kind of relationship, this virtuous wife, he's able to safely trust her. He's not worried about her, or what she's up to, or what she's doing, where she's going, or who she's with. There's this solid bond that God has established with this woman who's called the virtuous wife. And it says he will have no lack of gain. And this is a spiritual apprehension of what God can do in a relationship to satisfy the heart of the man. It's not based on materialism or the kind of car, or the house, or the stuff you own or have. Nothing can satisfy you independent of your relationship with God, number one. And number two, on the planet, having a person in your life, a man and a woman together that walks with God, that you're totally satisfied just with each other. If you look back, some of you who have been married a long time, and I've been married 54 years now, I wish I would have known a lot of these things when I was 20 and she was 18, but we've learned a lot of things down through the years, so we can appreciate a lot of things now that we were too stupid or foolish to appreciate when we were younger. But I think about, you know, when I first met Cindy at 18, and I saw her at the Tasty Freeze, and she was bending over to get ice cream, scooping out of the bin. I happened to notice everything about her. I said, wow, she's really beautiful. And Steve Eichelberger knew her because he was a young guy and he would go into the Tasty Freeze with his dad. He'd say, boy, Cindy was really a looker. You know, he would tell me that once in a while. We're good friends from way back when. But anyway, when I first laid eyes on her, I had this love for her and this desire for her and this sensitivity that I wasn't interested in really anybody else but her. And that's the way it's been by the grace of God for 54 years. We've had our struggles, our ups and downs like everybody does, but we've decided to stay together no matter what. And we made that commitment before the Lord, to death do us part, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, to death do us part. And that is a challenging thought process when you make those vows when you get married. A lot of people just say them and they don't believe them, or they certainly don't try to live them. But I'm thankful that I have a wife that does, and I'm sure she's thankful she has a husband that does too. Because now our lives are better than they ever have been. In all our lives, our marriage and our relationship together is the best it's ever been. And that's all glory to God and his work in each of our hearts. So then it says in verse 12, so she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So a virtuous woman, her intention is to be a blessing to her husband. That's what she thinks about all the time. She wants to please him. She wants to bless him. She wants to honor him. And in turn, he would want to do the same for her. But the focus is on the character of this kind of woman, that she's not interested in anything bad or unfortunate to happen to her husband. And it says that she seeks, in verse 13, wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Now, back in the day, there wasn't all these kind of TJ Maxx places and Marshalls where you could just go in and get really cool clothes at a reasonable price. The women had to make the clothes. And I remember as a young kid, my mom and dad, when they first got together, I think my mom was 17 and she had me, and my dad, I forget, he was like 18. And we lived in a third floor apartment of my mother's father's home. And it was a really cool house. It was really right on Pennsylvania Avenue in Irwin. And they had all these steps you had to wind to get up there. And they had cardboard boxes as end tables and really lived very modestly. At that time, I don't remember anybody really having what we have today. Even the poorest person in our culture today seems to be prosperous and blessed. But back in those days, there was one car to a family, and many people didn't have cars. They'd take the taxi cab or the bus to wherever they were going. And but I remember my mom, she always was very creative with how she did things. And my wife was this way too, where they would actually learn how to sew and make clothes and make outfits for her family. I remember pictures of my brother and I. She would have these plaid shirts and these pants she made, and we looked the same wherever we went as little guys. And my wife would do the same with our daughters. And it's a gift to be able to know how to make things and crochet and do needlework and make blankets and tie. That's a gift. And so this woman was industrious. She was able to do things with her hands, which was able to save money. And we probably need to have a resurgence of that coming back nowadays. Because it isn't just about saving money. Cindy loves doing needlework because it relaxes her. Matter of fact, she said, "Can I bring needlework to church?" And I said, "Well, I don't think so, you know. People will think you're not paying attention to this." And she says, "Well, I can learn more whenever I'm doing stuff with my hands." And she's back there coloring on her phone right now as we speak. That's just the way Cindy is. She processes better when she's doing something with her hands. So I'm not telling you to bring needlework in here, but or mess around in your phones. But it's interesting, though, how industry happens with the hands. And it says, she's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. So she was very industrious. She was had a business mindset. She understood commerce, and she was very talented at what she was able to do to help the family. It says she also, in verse 15, rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. So the lamp was burning all night long. Doesn't mean she was up all night long, but she was sensitive to the needs of the family, and she was industrious. And she was always thinking about what was best for others. She was a very giving and caring kind of person. And a portion for her maidservants. She had people that work with her in the home and help serve, and she was always interested in providing for them as well. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it from her profits, and she plants a vineyard. So not only was she good at what she did within her own four walls, but she had the capacity to look outside those four walls and think about what else she could do to generate income and to generate profitability. She knew she needed a field in order to have the vineyard, which would produce grapes, and eventually she would be able to sell those kind of things. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms in verse 17. So she cared about her physical body. She didn't let it go. She was exercising. She was strengthening her physical frame so she would able to work in the fields and do the things that she had to do. And you know, I look at you moms, and so, especially you ladies that have a bunch of kids. I think of Ruby. I don't know how you can do what you do. I see her coming down with a stroller and all these kids, and she seems to have energy, and she's into it, and she's always thinking about her family. She loves them. And Emily, she has a bunch of kids. I see all these women are getting pregnant in here, and it's so wonderful. But you need to have strength to be able to raise a family and to take care of kids. I would see Cindy, and she would be exhausted at the end of the day. She would work once in a while outside the home, and then she would do her stuff at the. She'd make homemade meals all the time, and make the house look nice. And as I'm sitting there on my lazy butt, not doing anything, thinking she's got to serve me. Now I'm learning to say, "Honey, is there anything I can do to help you?" Most of the time, there's nothing I can do because she knows what she's doing. I don't know what all about that homemaking stuff, but there's certain things I can be sensitive to help her and to lighten her load. But the energy that is needed to be expended when you're raising kids, fathers in here, especially with young wives, be sensitive to them and see how you can come alongside and help them, because I'm glad I was born a guy. How about you guys? You glad you were born a man instead of a woman? Women really, really have a lot of stuff to do, don't they? First of all, they got to take care of the kids, and they got baby the husbands, right? And take care of them, and then do the housework and the laundry and the cleaning and the cooking. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm not saying the guys don't work hard too, but I'd rather do what I do instead of doing what my wife has to do. So we honor them for their industry and their ability to do that. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. So she is not only making stuff and has a vision for business, but she's also confident that what she's providing to the market is good quality stuff. And I'm sure a lot of late nights had gone on for her to be able to accomplish these things. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds a spindle. And this distaff was like a rod that the material was wrapped around that she would pull and then feed it into the spindle to create these different kind of garments. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And I know there's women in this church, and many of them aren't wealthy, but I've heard through the grapevine how some of you women have waited on the Lord with your resources, and you gave some a special gift offering, many times unnoticed, and not wanting any kind of recognition because you were sensitive to people maybe in the congregation or outside the church that needed a little bit of encouragement. Just to get through a tough time. And this is the woman of God, the virtuous woman. She's sensitive to those who have less, and she reaches her hands out to bless the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household. Verse 21, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And the purple fabric was made from rare seashells along the seaside, and it was a very tedious process. And so they would make this color of material, and it is believed that not only was she clothing them with this color, but they were like double garments. They were thicker clothing to deal with different weather patterns, and the people that had this kind of clothing were recognized as being prosperous and well off. I think of my own mom when I was a young man. She was a professional fashion model, and she modeled clothing in Pittsburgh and Horns, Gimbels, and Kaufman's, and she met these designers, Ole Cassini and all these people, and some of these people wanted her to go to New York and model and get in the magazines and all that kind of stuff. And she never wanted to do that because she felt her main responsibility was at home with her husband and the children, us, my brother and I. But she would always look like $1 million, and she didn't buy stuff just to buy it to look good. She was able to figure out where to get the stuff when it was on a big sale. And she would buy stuff when it was on sale. And even at this facility she's in, the women look at her and say, "Sheila, how can you dress like you're so put together?" Well, that's just the way she thought about like how she presented herself, even at 91. She's just like an amazing woman. And She would always get these things on sale. I'll never forget, she would bring these clothes home to me and my brother, and I got these pants one time, and they were like huge. I mean, they were tight on the, but at the bottom, they went out. They were called bell bottoms. Anybody remember that? And I said, Mom, there's something wrong with these pants. I mean, they don't look like normal. She says, this is hot. This is going to be big. On the West Coast, people are wearing these things, and you're going to be a trendsetter. I said, I'm not interested in being a trendsetter. I'd go to school, and I'd fold my legs so that the bottoms wouldn't look like they were all hanging out, right? And Amy Kirkling was a professional fashion model, too, and she actually traveled the world, and she had the experience, and she understands what I'm talking about here. You and Sheila have a lot in common there. So, but this woman had this ability to really look good and know how to get things at a right price, and she was just an amazing woman. Says that her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And behind every good man, there's a good woman. People have told me many times, people come to Calvary Chapel not because of you, Clark, but because of Cindy. They love Cindy. They tolerate me. But they say, you have a remarkable wife. She's humble, she's gentle, she's approachable, she's just an awesome woman. And so your recognition, guys, lots of times is going to be reflected because of the type of woman you have and the wife you have, and that's a blessing. I remember my dad, he ran a big insurance company, a big shot out in Chicago, and they had Greensburg, Old Republic Life, and it's like a mansion now. It's like a bed and breakfast. They sold it years ago, but anyway, he would go to Chicago and his meetings, and all the big shots, and the guys are more interested in talking to Sheila than they were him. They just loved Sheila, and my mom was just very gracious in her personality and how she made my dad look good, and that's what a good woman does. She makes the husband look better than perhaps he might really be. And it says that she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. There's a family in here that I think they're on one of these websites, and she developed this kind of idea to make like these hats and this kind of stuff. And they did, it was really hot, I guess, during COVID. They did really well, but the family made these things, and even the husband and the boys were trained how to do this kind of stuff. There's a lot of opportunity, I guess, for people that know how to use their hands and to make things. And supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So this was a woman that not only had great human capacity and ability, but she also had this insight to realize that the best is yet to come, and that's an eternal world with the Lord one day, where heaven and earth will pass away, but everything will last forever in the kingdom of God. And so she had this insight to realize that this wasn't all there was, this present world. And she was rejoicing in that time that would one day come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I marvel at the women Bible teachers in here and some of the women that are doing different kind of ministries at the nursing homes and the counseling ministries and the studies. You women are being used because whenever you open your mouth, wisdom is coming from you to bless other people, helping them when they're in difficult situations or challenges that they don't know how to maneuver. It's a blessing for Pastor Lewis and myself to not have to deal with a lot of things because so many of the gifted women are ministering to one another. And that's a beautiful thing about this Women's Night Out. It's an opportunity for you women to get connected and get closer together and find relationships where you can trust people with maybe some confidential things that you want some insight from. The Bible says that the older women are to teach the younger women and the older men teach the younger men. It's not because we have it all together, but we've learned through experience and time the right way to do things versus the wrong way to handle things. And the wisdom that comes from the Lord through your lives to one another is very, very important. My mom, I know to this day, she counsels people, and she taught a home Bible study for over 50 years in her home. And these women have been there for years, and some of them are starting to pass on. It's sad because we all get older and we eventually leave this world. But to this day, she'll write a note to someone, or even in this facility she's in, she's trying to minister comfort and encouragement to some of the other women that she's meeting there. And the reason she has this wisdom, she didn't have any wisdom in a sense of independent of God. I can't remember a time where I have gone into her house and seen her Bible opened on a table with notes, yellow legal pages where she's got all these notes of things that the Lord is speaking to her or teaching to her about. And I think about all the times that maybe I was in a jam or I was struggling or I needed just some prayer, and she would talk to me, and I would hear her talk, and I would know that what she was saying was coming from the Lord. It was coming from the truth of His Word. And when you get wisdom from God, it really changes your life, and it can change your direction. And it's really important to have the wisdom of the Lord. The Bible says if any of us lack wisdom, we just can ask of God, and it says He'll give it to us liberally, and he won't hold it back. On her tongue is a law of kindness. My mom's not perfect. Sometimes she gets uptight and she'll tell me what she really thinks. And that's okay too. Sometimes, you know, we say things maybe in a harsher manner than maybe we should. And then we reflect and we say, boy, you know, forgive me for that. I was upset or I was uptight. It's funny, I'll tell you a little story. So people, like when you're in these facilities, people will come into your room and they think it's their room. So my mom came up from lunch the other day and she saw this woman in her room. She had the curtains closed and she's trying to climb into the bed. My mom's like, "What are you doing here? This is my room." "No, this is my room." And it's going back and forth, right? And so finally, my mom got someone to help and get the lady nicely down to where she's supposed to be. And then she got her room. Well, when I go up there now, I knock on the door and I kid her. I say, "Is this my room in here? Are you in my room?" And she gets all upset. So I go in there the other day, and I'm trying to get this radio to work so she can hear these messages on Sunday because the reception was sort of bad. And I moved it, and I got her this clock. It's round, and it doesn't stay stable. Like, if you move it a little bit, it'll spin. It's like a big wall clock. It's supposed to be on a wall, and I have it on a counter. And she, "What are you doing? You're messing up my clock." She was really uptight about that. And I just, like, sort of smiled. I said, "Okay, I'll fix it. You know, I'm sorry, you know." Then later on, as we're sitting there, she says, "I'm really sorry that I got upset with you about the clock, you know." And that's the Holy Spirit too, right? Because we can just say whenever we're like uptight or we get a little bit overworked about something, we can say and to the person we love or whatever, a family member, "Please forgive me. I shouldn't have acted that way. Or I shouldn't have said things that way. Or shouldn't have behaved that way." This woman is being depicted here. I think a lot of women will read this and they'll think, "If I can't be just like this lady here, I'm a lousy wife." No, these are things you can study, underline, pray about. Say, "Lord, help me to be more like this. Work on my life so I have these characteristics." And the Lord will begin to build those things into your life. It says that she watches over the ways of the household in verse 27 and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also, and he praises her. And I thought of my own daughters today, and they've turned into wonderful women of God. They love the Lord, and they're wonderful mothers, and they're also very good with their own husbands and their own children. And I attribute a lot of that, obviously, all of it really, to God's grace, but I also attribute a lot of it to the testimony of Cindy and how she has been as a mother all these years of our children. And I sent this to my own daughters today. Happy Mother's Day. We are so proud and thankful for the many priceless years of being part of your lives, first as our daughters, then as grandparents. We have watched you both mature and become loving mothers and wives. You both have raised precious kids that are growing into wonderful people. As we reflect on the years we've had with you as our daughters, we thank God that we are still close to your families and still enjoy being part of your lives. You are both wonderful, beautiful, successful people. We know you both love Jesus and depend upon him to guide and give you both wisdom to be the mothers you've become. I know your mom, her love, humility, sacrifices, and prayers are reflected in your lives, and I'm so thankful she brought you both into this world. She too is an amazing mother. And so we can be grateful for all these things that happen. And my adult daughters are blessed by Cindy. They still have a great friendship, and they love being with her and being around her. And Cindy's influence goes beyond this when they were little, but now that they're adults and raising their own children and us watching them is just a wonderful thing to be able to see. Her husband also, he praises her. And I thank the Lord, got Cindy a gift for Mother's Day, and it's like a little chain with two hearts together, and it represents us for 54 years of being together, and the Lord has held us together, but it also represents our two daughters. And so I praise God for her. Many daughters, in verse 29, have done well, but you excel them all. And women, I just want to say to you in this church, all of you women, I know some of you more than others, but every one of you I've had conversations with or have had the pleasure of meeting or talking to, your countenances, your mannerisms, the grace of God, your smiles, your countenances, how you are with your families or how you are with the body and the congregation, this blesses us tremendously. You have such an impact on everything that's happening here at Calvary Chapel, and I thank the Lord for every one of your lives. Then it says, charm is deceitful in verse 30, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. My mom wrote a book, and she's reordering it. And Mark Kettering always gets a kick out of my mom when she's here because he calls her Sparkle. And she does sparkle. It's the joy of the Lord in her. And she's ordering more of these books. We'll have them available. A 30-day devotional. And some Catholic friends of mine up in Johnstown, we worked with them with some marriage stuff a while years ago, and I gave him one of those books, and he said, Clark, I wanted you to know, during Lent, my wife and I went through every one of those chapters in Sparkle during Lent. It was such a blessing for us. And so my mom's legacy will go far beyond her physical being in this world, but that book will last as long as books are still being published. But my mom was a knockout as a professional model. And it's hard when you get older because you start losing your looks, right? And all of us that look in the mirror that are over, probably this starts happening when you're 40, you look and you say, who is that in that mirror now? That can't be me, but it is you. And my mom, she, being a model, she wasn't were you proud or narcissistic in her looks, but she did care how she looked. And to watch her age was difficult for all of us. But she's still a beautiful woman, just in a different way. And it's just amazing. And so this charm is sort of deceitful, youthful looks and all that kind of stuff. And beauty, it's passing, right? It doesn't last forever. Wish it did, but it doesn't. That's just the way it is because of sin. And we're all aging. We all get older. We start to feel the aging process. We start to look at the aging process. But that isn't the big issue. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. That's the beauty of your countenance as you age. If you fear the Lord, don't worry about what it looks like on the outside. You look beautiful to God, and your life will be beautiful to others. Don't hold on too tight to the looks, because they will begin to change. You don't want to get depressed. If you're fearing the Lord, you're going to have many blessings. And God will honor you, and many, many people will praise you for who you are. It says in verse 31, as the worship team can come forward, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. Well, thank you, mothers, for your impact on us and who you are. I pray today that you'll have a wonderful day with your families, whatever you're doing. If you're alone just with the husband, and the kids are doing something different, that's okay. Husbands, treat your wives with a special day on Mother's Day. And if you're catching up with your family members later on, enjoy your time with them as well. There's a couple leaving now. They have to get to their new... Did you tell everybody you have a new child in your house, Alan? And did you tell everybody you have a new child in your house? Their daughter's in France, so it's hard to see her. So they brought a new dog, a Chihuahua. That's her new... Is that a boy or a girl dog? Huh? A boy. Okay. So enjoy your son today, okay? I'd like you guys to be praying for us. We'll be leaving not this Monday, but the following Monday for the pastor's conference in Philadelphia. There's eight of us going down, so pray that we'll be open to what the Lord has to say and to get deeper with him so we come back and can be a greater blessing to everyone here. So let's pray and prepare our hearts for the supper. Father God, we thank you this morning for this beautiful chapter that all of us could get something out of, and we have gotten something out of it, Lord. Let it be a blessing as we think of the attributes of our own moms, past and present, who exuded some of these characteristics. And Lord, also the women who are still here on the planet, Lord, give them a desire to study this and say, Lord, how can I be more like this kind of woman here? It's a goal, Lord. We can't accomplish all these things overnight. But if our hearts are open and we're humble, we realize where we fall short because we're human. We make mistakes. But we want to be like this woman, where she had fear of the Lord, and she had a testimony, and she had influence wherever she went. May our women, Lord, continually be that to others, first in their family and wherever they go. We honor them today, Lord, and give them a special blessing as they reflect on this day that's set aside especially to honor who they are and all that they've done. Thank you for our moms who are now gone and with you. We thank you for their memories and how they touch us in pictures and memories and things we learn from them, Lord. It's all good, Father. And Lord Jesus, most of all, we remember again this morning what you did for us on the cross. Lord, we wouldn't even begin to be interested in talking about these things or reading them or studying them if you hadn't changed our lives. And Lord, you are changing them continually, showing us, Lord, we can't do life without you. We need a Savior. We need you to come into our hearts and change our minds and our hearts so that we are followers of you, and we don't try to do life on ourselves, in ourselves. Because, Lord, if we try to do life in ourselves, we fail, and it's miserable, it's depressing, Lord. But you haven't created us to be alone. You created us to have a relationship with you, God, the living God. And you came to the cross to die there and take the punishment for our sin so that we wouldn't have to take punishment, and that we could be forgiven through that shed blood that you poured out when you died on the cross for sins that you never committed. Thank you, Lord, for how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, that your Bible, the Word of God, teaches us how we can become more like you if our hearts are open to what it has to say. We pray for anyone who may be here today that's never come to Jesus and asked him to save them. Today they would say, Lord, I'm done trying to do it myself. I want you to save me and forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and change me. And Lord, for those of us here today that know you, we still ask, Lord, to just keep changing us. rearranging things in our lives that we can become more like you, Jesus. On the night that Jesus was betrayed in that upper room, he took the bread in his hands and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, in that evening, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is a new covenant, my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins of many. Drink this in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes again. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.